Before this morning's sermon, I have one announcement concerning our newcomers class for next Saturday and Sunday. There are a lot of you who are new to the church over the last 6 months or so, and this class is a great chance to get to know more about Cary Alliance Church and about the Christian and Missionary Alliance and your part in it. You'll be able to get to know other newcomers and hear Pastor Mitchell's testimony and get to know some more of the staff as well. The class will be in two parts, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and Sunday at 12:30 after the service. Food is provided at both and childcare is available if you need it. You can get more information and sign up on the website or just reach out to Pastor Tom. And we really do hope to see you there very soon. This morning, our sermon is going to be in a different direction than planned. It was my initial plan to preach on how Joshua the high priest saw Jesus and take communion. It was a communion sermon and a communion Sunday. That has obviously been moved to likely next Sunday. And today I would like to talk about what it means to be Christ-like and what it means to pray for more and more likeness unto Jesus as we live in this world. Two sentences from Scripture will serve as a basis for this theme. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Follow my example, says Paul to the Corinthian believers, as I follow the example of Christ. Meaning to the extent that we are to follow the examples of people, of spiritual leaders, of those we respect. We are only to follow their example to the extent that they follow the example of the Lord Jesus. William Plummer put it this way, we are not at liberty to follow men except as they follow Christ. A second verse is this, 1 John 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. In other words, if we claim to savingly belong to Jesus, if we draw life from him, then we are to be a people who live like him. We are to be Christ-like. Children used to sing this song, like Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. I love him so, I want to grow like Jesus day by day. So this is our theme, growing to be like Jesus and praying that we will be more like Jesus. And I want to start with two crucial realities concerning Christ's likeness. And the first one is this. Christ-likeness is the supreme priority for a believing people. Christ-likeness is the supreme priority for a believing people. If someone were to ask you the question, what is the main thing in following Jesus? What is the ultimate purpose? What is the chief end? There is a sense in which you could legitimately give a variety of answers. For example, you could say, our ultimate purpose is to love God with the totality of our being and to love each other. The reason you could give this answer is because Jesus was once asked, what is the first and greatest commandment? He answered by saying, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself. If that's the first and greatest commandment, it certainly is our ultimate priority. Or you could use the old catechetical question, the question from the shorter catechism. compiled by the Puritans when they ask, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You could also go to the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The word seek means to seek as a matter of supreme importance, to seek as top priority in your life, a lifestyle of righteousness, living loyal to the King. So you could give any one of those answers. It's to love God with the totality of my person. It is to glorify God in all things. After all, Scripture says, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Or you could say the ultimate purpose of a believing person is to live and pursue a righteous lifestyle. What is equally true is that you could say Christ-likeness, living more and more Christ-like, growing to be more like Jesus in terms of imitating His moral character and His godly lifestyle. Christ-likeness is our ultimate theme. Now, it's crucial to say all those varied answers I just stated are really not at odds with each other. There's no competition here. Actually, they mean pretty much the same thing. When you pursue righteousness, when you grow in Christ-likeness, when you love God, you are, in fact, glorifying Him. To pursue righteousness is to pursue the kind of righteousness you see in Jesus Himself. So these varied answers are not at odds. You want to prove that you love God? Live Christ-like. I think you get the idea. But for the sake of stability in terms of the answer to the question, what is our ultimate purpose? It is Christ-likeness. Let me give us a biblical basis for declaring such a truth. The first thing from the Bible we need to know is that making us more like Jesus is God's purpose in saving us. Making us more like Jesus, becoming more Christ-like, is the purpose, it's the reason God has given us salvation. One place we see this is in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. These precious verses have often been called the golden chain of salvation. Whom God foreknew, He predestined. Whom He predestined, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. That's the totality of His saving grace toward us. But why did God do it? Again, we read in this verse, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why. To be changed, to be transformed, to be conformed to the image of His Son, which simply means to become more Christ-like while living in this world. The second truth is transforming us into Christ-likeness is what the Holy Spirit is doing today. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Lord's believing people are to keep focusing on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplating Him is the word used here. And when we do that, the Lord, who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He is actively working to transform us into the image of Jesus, into the kind of lifestyle and into the kind of character we see in Jesus during his earthly years. And finally, when Christ returns, changing us to be like him will happen instantly. Listen as I read 1 John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A day is approaching when the final transformation of likeness to Christ will take place. When we see him, we are changed. We become eternally sinless and pure like Jesus is. We could sum it up this way. God's great purpose for his people in what we might call initial salvation, what happened to us in the past, and continuing transformation, what is happening to us in the present, and final glorification, what will happen to us someday. God's ultimate purpose in all the movements of grace and salvation is to make us more like Jesus. This is the biblical basis for saying that the supreme purpose of God for his believing people is for us to be Christ-like. Now, there's a second necessity that is crucial that we understand it. Christ-likeness, listen closely, Christ-likeness is what the world needs to see from us. As this lost, watching world looks on the believing people of Christ, they need to see and hear us loving Jesus and praising Jesus and serving Jesus and imitating Jesus. Let me put it in a sort of negative way. Our witness, our speaking for Jesus, the gospel, into this lost world, into this world that deserves his eternal divine justice, our witness to that world is greatly hindered when the world sees a big gap between the Christ we proclaim verbally and the Christ we present visually. If we proclaim Christ verbally, but live in a sort of hypocritical way, a consistent life of spiritual mediocrity that bears almost no resemblance to Jesus, and we present Jesus visually as someone who is not exceedingly worthy of our imitation, That's going to quench our capacity to be a witnessing people. Back in the early 1920s, there was an American missionary to India whose name was Stanley Jones. And Stanley Jones, along with a number of other Christians, went to hear a lecture by an Indian philosopher. And this philosopher knew that these Christians were in his audience. And toward the end of his lecture, the philosopher stopped and directly his address and directly addressed these Christians. And this is what he said: "I see that a good many of you here are Christians. Now, this is not a religious lecture, but I would like to pause long enough to say that if you Christians would live like Jesus Christ, India would be at your feet tomorrow." What a public rebuke. If you were to live like Jesus Christ, your witness would bear spiritual fruit. Now, it is of course true that there will be occasions when we really do live a Christ-like life, and the response of the world would be hostility. It is equally true to say, if we are not living a Christ-like life, the world will have little reason to entertain the possibility and the veracity of our witness. So having thought a bit about how Christ-likeness is God's supreme purpose for us, and how Christ-likeness is a profound need for a lost and dying world to see, it is time for us to ask the question, how can we pray for Christ-likeness? To get at an answer for this, to this question, I want to draw a biblical sketch of what Christ-likeness should look like. This is not a full list, but it is a reasonable one. And I want to couch it in the language of prayer. Let's quickly move through seven traits from Jesus' own life. What we can clearly see in the hopes of imitating Christ more and more. The first one is this, that we are to pray for Christ-like humility. Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The supreme moment of Christ's humiliation is when, as God himself in flesh, he willingly humbles himself to be our sin-bearing, wrath-absorbing Savior. Hours before he was arrested, that eventually led to his crucifixion, Jesus was alone in the upper room, and he rose from the table and garbed himself with a towel and a basin filled with water, and he washed the dirty, smelly feet of his disciples. It was a profound act of humble serving. When Jesus returned to the table, he said to his disciples, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. It was a command for us to be Christ-like in humble serving. Secondly, we should pray for a Christ-like prayer life. Luke chapter 5 tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places or solitary places to pray. In fact, the whole life of Jesus was a blaze of prayer. He prayed at his baptism, at his temptation, on the Mount of Transfiguration. On one occasion, Jesus prayed all night long before he selected his 12 disciples. He prayed with such passion and consistency that on one occasion his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And on two occasions while on the cross, Jesus prayed. So it's no surprise for us to hear he often went to lonely places to pray. Christ-likeness includes a persistent praying life. May we ask Jesus to help us imitate how he prayed in terms of frequency and passion. Then third, we should pray for a Christ-like willingness to forgive others. Jesus taught us to pray and to practice, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When Jesus was being nailed to the cross, how did he pray? Father, forgive them. Later, when Stephen was being stoned for preaching the gospel, as the rocks were bruising and battering his body, Stephen imitated Jesus and prayed, Father, forgive them. Christ-likeness requires that we have a forgiving spirit. Fourth, Pray for a Christ-like alertness to resist Satan. You remember how Satan came with force against Jesus and tempted him over and over again. And each time the Lord Jesus to resist Satan said, "It is written." And he quoted Scripture. "It is written," and he quoted Scripture three times. Oh, if we're going to be Christ-like, we've got to know the Scriptures. The Word of God needs to be hidden in our hearts that we might use it in spiritual battle. That's included in Christ-likeness. Then fifth, we should pray for Christ-like love. I so enjoy quoting those verses from the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. "A new command I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." Evidence sufficient to convict us of being Jesus' disciples is found in this distinguishing mark. Do we love each other? Love each other, Jesus says, as I have loved you. We are to copy his love and give it to each other. Six, we should pray for cross-bearing. Jesus-like cross-bearing. You remember in Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said these words, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." To take up your cross is to bear its weight down the Via Dolorosa, the road of suffering. It is to be so devoted to him that we would die for him rather than betray him. And so all other forms of suffering are owed to the fact that we bear his cross. It's why Paul says in Philippians 3 that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings. And then lastly, pray for Christ-like courage and compassion in our witness. In John chapter 17, verse 18, we read, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Jesus is praying to God the Father. "You sent me here to bring the gospel. And I'm sending them out to take the gospel, to bring it to people. But I say here, with the courage and compassion of Jesus." The Lord Jesus was always bold in his witness. But over and over again, as he comes face to face with people, it says Jesus had compassion for him. He had compassion on her. Oh, that we would ask God the Father to give us Christ-like courage and compassion in our witness. Well, that's just a brief sketch of how to pray for Christ-likeness. Now we come to the last question. How can we grow in Christ-likeness? There are three simple ways. I ask you to take them to heart. Here's the first. We must adopt daily devotion to Christ-likeness as our supreme purpose. If God's ultimate purpose is our Christ-likeness, then we ought to adopt that as our chief end, as our ultimate purpose. It is what ought to matter most to us. This ought to be our holy resolve to be Christ-like. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way: God wants us to become like Jesus Christ because there is no higher purpose or goal for us to realize. Becoming like Jesus is not just our ultimate destiny, it's also our immediate responsibility. It is something that should claim our devotion day after day for the rest of our lives. Secondly, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to make us Christ-like. Remember, the Holy Spirit is working to transform us into more and more Christ-likeness. We ought to depend on him. We ought to cry out to him, "Oh, Holy Spirit, as I go out into my day, help me to live Christ-like in front of other people. Help me to talk like Christ, to live like Christ, to think like Christ." And you know the Holy Spirit will help you. A number of years ago, William Temple put it this way. It is no good giving me a play like Hamlet or King Lear and tell me to write a play like that. Shakespeare could do it. I can't. And it is no good showing me a life like the life of Jesus and tell me to live like that. Jesus could do it. I can't. And then William Temple added these words. But if the genius of Shakespeare could come and live in me, then I could write plays like his. And if the Spirit of Jesus could come and live in me, then I could live a life like his. And that's just the point. The Holy Spirit has come to live in all believing people. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's ask the Holy Spirit and depend on Him to help us to be Christ-like. And last of all, we must keep looking at Jesus and praying for Christ-likeness. We will never grow in Christ-likeness if we take our eyes off Jesus. We must keep looking at Him in the Scriptures, especially the Gospel. So that we will know who He is. And the more we look at Jesus and think seriously and deeply about Him, the deeper our love will grow. Our love will increase for Him. And the more we love Him, the more our hearts will be inclined to live like Him. And oh, we should pray. It's why I gave you that list. I don't know who it was, but some person once wrote, I doubt if anybody has ever become Christ-like who has not been diligent in prayer. We don't become Christ-like by haphazard praying or prayerless days. So keep looking at Jesus and praying. Back in my college days, back in the late 70s, we used to sing a song. And though it's been 42 years, I still know this song. It goes like this. I want to be growing more and more like Jesus. I want to be knowing more and more of His ways. I want to be showing more and more of His goodness. I want to be growing more like Him every day. For it is God who is at work within me, making me want to obey Him, and I'm walking in His Spirit, and His Word shows me the way. I want to be growing more and more like Jesus. I want to be knowing more and more of His ways. I want to be showing more and more of His goodness. I want to be growing more like Jesus every day. May that be our supreme purpose. Let us pray. Our eternal Holy Father in heaven, thank you for saving us. Thank you for daily transforming us by your Holy Spirit. And thank you that someday we will be sinlessly pure as Jesus is always and even now. Until that day, may this be our holy resolve. May this be our daily pursuit. May this be the joy of our lives, to love Him and to live Christ-like for Him in a watching world. We pray in your holy name. Amen.